KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, 88.1 FM.
Hey, Darcy, it looks like you found me.
Thanks for joining us again this evening on Finding Me here on your local non-commercial community radio station, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead. Whether you're joining us at 88.1 FM, online at kpppfm.com, or on Shoutcast, we're glad you're with us tonight. I'm Darcy Jada Corbett, and I'm joined in the studio with my amazing co-host, Nemo Siqueiros.
Good evening.
Well, this is the last day of the month of November, the last day of Transgender Awareness Month, and the last part of our Transgender Voices show. And I've really enjoyed this month of getting to talk about the transgender community and talking about the issues that are important to it, giving a voice to people in our community who are often ignored or marginalized. And so it's been great. And we're going to be ending our series on this beautiful November 30th by talking about how to be an ally. And this is, you know, this is a topic that a lot of people have trouble with. They don't know, you know, if I don't understand it, can I be an ally? If I don't agree with it, can I be an ally? And, you know, those two statements are kind of loaded, but, you know, the short answer is yes, you can be an ally no matter what, whether or not you understand. And I would argue whether or not you agree, you can still be an ally for people and stand up for their rights. And so tonight we're going to be talking about some practical things that you can do to be a better ally. And so we'd love to have you part of this conversation. So if you'd like to be involved in the conversation, check out our website at kpppfm.com/finding-me. There you can learn about our upcoming shows, find links that we've shared or talked about on the show, and you can also send us messages. You could also tweet your questions or comments to @media_PPP. #FindingMe. You can also tweet at me. So my name is, or my Twitter is at Darcy Corbett, Corbitt. And Nemo, yours is Nemo Potatoes. Is that all one word?
Yep, all one word. Exactly how it sounds. Like the vegetable.
At Nemo Potatoes. And be sure to add the #FindingMe after that so we can have an archive of all the things that we post about.
I am actually quite active on Twitter these days. My Dad Duke actually told me the other day that, you know, you could be learning how to do this thing for the radio station instead of tweeting all day. I'm like, excuse me.
But I'm enjoying tweeting, so leave me alone.
Yeah.
Let's dance.
All right.
I just really love that song, Nemo. That's that is Dance Your Pain Away by Agnetha Falstock, who is one of the voices of ABBA. And we, I don't know if everyone knows, but I think you know, I love ABBA. It's like my favorite.
ABBA's great. And my mom introduced it to me as a child, and she also gave me some factoids on how they made a lot of their songs into many different languages, including Spanish. So
they did, and I think their Spanish versions of their songs are sometimes even better than the English ones.
Yeah,
the station plays a lot of songs. I'll be driving, and I'll hear oh, it's Fernando or Chiquitita or you know, what's another one they did in Spanish that's really good? Oh, I don't know. They're all perfect.
Yeah.
And I think ABBA is appropriate for any situation. I plan to march down the aisle when I get married to Dancing Queen. So
nice.
I think the organist at my church may have something to say about that. But she wrote this song because she was like, we need a gay anthem. And, you know, Dancing Queen was for a long time a quintessential gay anthem. And she's like, I want to have a new gay anthem. And so
update, it's 2016.
She wrote this one for the gay community. And I think that's really awesome. Well, tonight we're talking about being an ally, and what we're talking about really is generalizable to any minority group, you know, whether it be lesbian, gay, bisexual community, or the polyamorous community, or people of color. I mean, this information is not unique to just trans people, but we're going to frame our conversation tonight on the trans community because we often don't have a voice and are ignored. And you've got two feisty trans people talking to you tonight.
Yep.
And we are going to talk about what you can do to be a good ally. And I think a great way to introduce this concept is this really fun video from a pretty funky person that I found on Twitter.
Yep. Chaskalay.
Is that how you say it?
I think that's how you say it. Otherwise, someone can correct me. If they can, that'd be great.
I bet Chaskalay is right because her name is Francesca. So I think
okay.
I found her on the Twitters.
All right, awesome. All right, let's go on to that.
Hey, friends. So I'm trying something different with my setup, and I don't know if it's working, but you will deal. Imagine your friend is building a house, and they ask you to help, but you've never built a house before. So it'd probably be a good idea for you to put on some protective gear and listen to the person in charge. Otherwise, someone's going to get seriously hurt. Look, I'm helping. It's the exact same idea when it comes to being an ally. An ally is a person that wants to fight for the equality of a marginalized group that they're not a part of. We need your help building this house, but you probably should listen so you know what to do first. Let's do this. So here are my 5 tips for being a good ally. Understand your privilege. Now, a lot of people get hung up on the word privilege, so let me break it down for you nice and easy. Privilege does not mean that you are rich, that you've had an easy life, that everything's been handed to you, and you've never had to struggle or work hard. All it means is that there are some things in life that you will not experience or ever have to think about just because of who you are. It's kind of like those horses that have those blinders on. They can see just fine. There's just a whole bunch of stuff on the side that they don't even know exists. So for example, there are currently 29 states where you can legally be fired for being gay, and there are 34 states where you can legally be fired for being trans. Now, as a straight cis woman, those are things that I don't have to ever think about if I don't want to. I'm not gonna be fired because I'm straight, and I'm not gonna be fired because I am cis. So it makes sense that before I can fight for the rights of others, I have to understand what rights I have and others don't. That's privilege. Listen and do your homework. It sounds like a no-brainer, but it's not possible for you to learn if you aren't willing to listen. So you gotta know when to zip up the lip up. I don't know. You get what I mean. But that's the thing that's so cool about social media. There are so many people sharing their stories all around the world and connecting with people that they normally would never get a chance to without the power of the internet. So do your homework. Start reading blogs, tweets, news articles, and stories so that you can get caught up on the issues that are important to the communities that you want to support. Speak up. But not over. If the Fight for Equality was a girl group, the ally wouldn't be the lead singer or the second lead singer. They'd be Michelle. An ally's job is to support. You want to make sure that you use your privilege and your voice to educate others, but make sure to do it in such a way that does not speak over the community members that you're trying to support or take credit for things that they are already saying. This isn't Mario Kart. Stay in your lane. Realize that you're going to make mistakes and apologize when you do. Nobody's perfect. Unlearning problematic things takes time and work, so you are bound to mess up and trip and fall.
Okay.
But don't worry, you can brush yourself off and get right back up.
I'm back up!
Just remember that it's not about your intent, it's about your impact. So when you get called out, make sure to listen, apologize, commit to changing your behavior, and move forward. Last but certainly not least, actually, the most important thing on this list is remember that ally is a verb. Saying you're an ally is not enough. You gotta do the work. 1 through 4. 1 through 4. As always, there are links in the video description box to some of the things I mentioned in this video, along with some resources that have been really helpful for me as I've gone along in my journey to be more conscious. So I want to hear from you in the comments. What are some sites that you suggest checking out, and what are some things that have helped you become a better ally? Let me know in the comments below. Don't forget to subscribe, and I'll see you when I see you. Bye!
So this clip really resonated with me, and you should watch it. We'll post it on Facebook, so you should watch it. But it's a really funny, it's a funny but also informative way to talk about, you know, the
ways to be an
ally.
Yeah.
Allyship. I mean, I have been very fortunate in my life since coming out as first as a gay man and then as a transgender woman. I've been very fortunate to have many allies who have been really supportive. I've also had the extreme misfortune of having people who were allies but who took credit for a lot of the work that I did or a lot of the work that other people in the trans community did, or they didn't really give us, like, we were a token, and that's frustrating. And it's always frustrating to watch an event and kind of be able to pick out, okay, this person is just a token.
I just recently watched a video. You'll have to check it out later, and I didn't prepare for this show, but perhaps we can play it some other time. It's another video by Dylan Marin from Seriously.tv, and he talks about identity politics and how ultimately it would cost us the election of where they have your token, like, and they'll speak in, like, as a, you know, insert marginalized group, blah, 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 you know? So.
Yeah, and I think it's important, and I don't know if this was really explicitly said in this clip, but it's important that in our desire to be inclusive, we don't become tokenistic.
Right.
So many times at these diversity events, and I really hate the word diversity, but
right,
that's
same
a
here.
Completely different discussion.
Same.
But, you know, you see these people and you know, like, they're trying really hard to include everyone. But the mm-hmm. problem is when you do that, you're always going to exclude someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of lose sight of the fact that the people that you're inviting to speak are people. They're not tokens. And mm-hmm. it's not that we do it on purpose. And I'm not trying to say that we do this on purpose. This is something we do implicitly. It's a bias that we have. And we're not really aware of it. Even well-intentioned people, even I, you know, flub up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today I was talking to someone and I was like, yeah, you know, I have all these Mexican friends. And I'm like, Darcy, was that necessary information? Why did you have to say that? And I think subconsciously I was just trying to communicate like, hey.
I think honestly you're trying to like, you know, connect with this person.
On some level,
but it's not the appropriate way to do so.
It's not. And it wasn't like I intended to be a jerk.
Right.
Or intended to be, you know.
And you know what? As an ally, you will mess up.
Race, you will. And you know what? I acknowledge it. I was like, oh, that sounded really white. I'm sorry. Like, it's, you know, that's important. And I used to get really upset when I would do things like that. Now I'm just like, I just acknowledge it. And I'm like, look. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm doing the best I can. And I think that's what's important to remember about being an ally. And, you know, that your role is to, one, understand where you fit in to the situation. So if you're not trans, you have privileges that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that gives you a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use that for good.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that allies should never speak up.
Mm-hmm.
You should speak up. But you should, but there's sort of a fine art to learning how to use your voice and use your privilege, but not marginalize people further.
Right. Speak out, but not over.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a key way that we can use our privilege as allies, and I guess from this perspective, I'm looking at myself as an ally to the people of color,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. as a white woman. So
I'm a white woman. Nemo is a Mexican man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mexican American. I don't know what your identity. I don't want to assume.
I go with Mexican, but you know, it's all the same. I'm a person of this continent. So,
and you know, I'm your ally.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways I could use my privilege to help you is, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, you know,
I don't want to assume anything, but I guess, you know, like
in the scenario that, like, you know, a privileged individual is discriminating against me based on my race, I would hope that you would step up and be like, ouch, like anything, literally.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even have to have a coherent argument in your head quite yet, other than you know that's offensive, whatever that person just said, and you just say, ouch,
mm-hmm.
just as a start. And then, you know, this takes the verbal or even the physical assault off of me and redirects it towards you as my ally to step up, and then that person has to pay attention to you because you're choosing to step up. Like, how dare you?
And honestly, that doesn't have a huge impact on me.
Right.
Because it's not personal. I mean, it's personal because you're my friend,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't hurt, you know.
Exactly.
The pejoratives that can be used against you, there really aren't any white pejoratives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some that are considered pejoratives, but they don't have the same power.
Right.
You know, if you call someone the N-word,
mm-hmm.
that has a lot of power. But if you call a white person a cracker, I mean, that doesn't have any power. I mean,
it has
like,
zero power.
Whatever.
And like, you know, for those who don't know, cracker comes from the term for the less privileged white folk who, I suppose, to this day would be considered white trash, that got the job to whip the slaves. And that's why they're called crackers. Whipping, grip, you know. Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that. Oh, that's really awful. I hate that.
Actually, exactly.
Now I think I'm going to be offended by that word. So well, maybe it does have power, but it doesn't have the same power, though.
Exactly, because whereas the N-word is meant to dehumanize, just as the, you know, the word, I'm going to censor this, but it starts with an S, spick, is also dehumanizing to my people or, you know, other people of color. So
I think you bring up a good point. I'm glad that I shut my mouth and I was like, I don't, you know, I'm not going to assume how I can, you know, use my privilege. But that's an excellent example that also works for the trans community. You know, one time I was in the parking lot at Walmart, and this was back in Alabama. This wasn't here, but it could happen here. Very sure. possibly could happen here. And this Muslim woman was getting harassed by this white guy.
Mm.
And so I walked up to her and said, "Can I walk you to your car?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I did.
Yeah.
We didn't talk. I just walked her to her car
mm-hmm.
to keep her from getting hurt.
Right.
And so that's something that you can do for trans people. Just basically stand between them and the bully, mm-hmm. you know, and it diffuses the situation because bullies, they're interested in getting the approval of people around them. People who bully tend to be aggressive. They tend to be popular and they do it because they want to have more social power.
Uh-huh.
So if you just, as the social group, don't support that behavior, it cuts off what they're trying to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
It completely stifles them.
I mean, like, number one, you cannot be silent when someone's being harassed in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, because silence is violence, right? And if you at least make the attempt to step between one party and the other, then you can at least have a chance at safety for that victim.
And I think another, we haven't really talked about this yet, and I want to bring it up now, is that understanding of, we don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been a trans advocate for 4 years or so. I'm not an expert. People call me an expert. I'm not an expert. What I know about the trans community barely scratches the surface.
I mean, you're more experienced than others who are just starting, but otherwise, yeah.
I'm on this journey too. And, you know, there are trans women who've come before me who know a little bit more than I do, but they're still not experts.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not experts, then allies could never possibly be an expert. And so that's important. And knowing that you don't know everything means that you have to educate yourself. You continuously have to learn. And I think the best way, and we modeled it tonight on the show, is asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't assume that you understand what it's like to be trans. Don't assume that you understand what it's like to not be able to use the bathroom that corresponds with your gender identity. Mm-hmm. You have an idea, but you don't understand. You could mm-hmm. never, ever understand what that's like.
Right.
But you can ask questions. And, yeah. you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm open to people asking me questions. And people ask me very personal questions. And mm-hmm. I don't take it offensively. I know some people, you know, and to be honest, full disclosure, it's not necessarily a polite thing to do to every person.
Right.
You know, if you wanted to know something about being trans, you mm-hmm. could say, you know, I want to learn more. Do you mind if I ask you questions? And you can tell me if the question is too personal.
Mm-hmm.
Put the, you know, give them that power to decide. Don't just be prying like, well, have you had surgery yet? Like,
yeah, don't.
And you should probably never ask someone that question, but you can ask.
I mean, because what you're really asking is like, you know, what junk do you have? And that's like super personal.
Mm-hmm. But I think some people ask that question because they want to know what it's like or how easy it is to have it or what the experience is like. So just word the question to, based on the information you want. You know, how does gender affirming surgery work? Like, what's the process? Is that something that your insurance pays for? Like,
right. Like, here's the thing. You can like Google transitioning. You can Google transitioning videos all over YouTube, and there's plenty of transgender folk who have gone through that transition, and they will explicitly tell you how they went through it, or they don't, but you still get to observe the experience through time lapse or whatever style they choose to show that transition.
And, you know, asking about the issues faced by the trans community is another important thing to do as an ally, because I think a lot of times we assume like, well, because gay people can get married, well, obviously it's all better now. And that's not the fact.
Mm-mm.
That's not the case. There's still housing discrimination, employment discrimination, public accommodation discrimination. I was talking to legislators tonight, and there probably is going to be an anti-transgender bathroom bill in North Dakota. It's just inevitable. So, and I mean, we said this already. It's not like it's a big surprise, but
mm-hmm.
you know, there are other issues at stake here. And so understanding what those issues are is another important part of being an ally. And you're lucky because I have a really great website, and I'm going to plug it as much as I can. Not because I'm trying to like build myself up, but because I've put a lot of time into this because I want to educate the community and I want to provide resources to trans folk. So if you want to learn more about the issues faced by the trans community, go to darcycorbett.org/issues.
Mm-hmm. And also don't be like feeling bad about like building yourself up, because that's what we do here. We build ourselves up and each other up, okay? We strengthen each other, and that's what this station is all about.
Thank you, Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we'll continue our discussion of being an ally to the transgender community. Do you enjoy finding me? Consider donating to KPPPLP to help us keep bringing local queer color to your airwaves. KPPPLP is a low-power, non-commercial radio station funded by the generous gifts of our listeners. Your monthly gift of $5 or more will go a long way to help our wonderful team of volunteers, interns, and producers keep bringing you the high-quality local content you've come to expect from KPPPLP.
Your donation to KPPPLP can be made online at kppfm.com/donate. In the message line, simply enter Finding Me to make sure your gift goes toward our show's operating costs. You can also mail a check to KPPPLP. Make check payable to the People's Press Project with KPPP-LP-FM/Finding Me in the memo and mail it to the People's Press Project, 1517 4th Avenue South, Moorhead, Minnesota, 56560. All donations made will be sent a tax-deductible receipt and email updates of the progress of the project.
Would you like to make an even bigger impact with your gift? Please consider becoming an underwriter of Finding Me. For more information, go to kppfm.org/underwriting-opportunities. We're standing by you here on KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, the only area radio station adding local queer color to your airwaves. You're listening to Finding Me on 88.1 FM, online at kppfm.com or on Shoutcast. On tonight's show, we're talking about being an ally for the transgender community. You can join in on our conversation by going to our website at www.kppfm.com/finding-me. I'm one of your hosts, Darcy Jada Corbett, and I'm joined in the studio by the amazing, the spicy, the one and only Nemo Siqueiros.
Yo!
I try to spice that up every time, and I need to come up with some new adjectives.
Fiery.
Fiery, I love that. Perfect.
Well, I've already had my inside joke with the fire emoji, so I might as well continue the running joke.
Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. It's been a really long week.
Yeah. Same here.
But you know what? We keep moving forward, and you know, this is actually one of the most relaxing times of the week for me is when we sit down to record the show. So I'm glad we're here together tonight on this beautiful evening.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about being an ally. And when we left off, we were talking about how it can be really difficult because you're not an expert. Mm-mm. And sometimes you aren't mindful of your privilege. And sometimes you don't really know how to speak up without speaking over.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked a little bit about, you know, what to do if you make a mistake. And that's, I want to keep talking about that because I think
it's really important.
It is. And, you know, our amazing intro clip, Cheskele, thank you, was like, you'll make mistakes, so apologize when you do. And I think that's just perfect. You know, nobody is perfect. And in psychology, we have a saying, people do the best that they can mm-hmm. with what they have.
Yep.
And I try to remember that when I'm working with people who don't know a lot about the trans community.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the best they can with what they have. Some people don't have a lot to work with.
Mm-mm.
If you don't know a trans person, or you don't think you know a trans person, or you've never really thought about transgender identity, it makes sense that you're going to make mistakes, or you're going to say offensive things that you don't mean to say.
Right.
You know, I educated a friend just this week about hermaphrodite and how that's not an acceptable word.
Right.
And, you know, but I understand why they use that word
mm-hmm.
because that was the medical term
mm-hmm.
and they're older and that's just, you know, it makes sense to me. I understand mm-hmm. why it happened. And I told them and they're like, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, it wasn't a big deal. And I think,
yeah. And it's also a misplaced term because it referred to those who had both sexual genitals, didn't it?
Well, it's based off of the mythical Greek character Hermaphrodite.
Right.
Hermaphrodite, who was both male and female.
Right.
It's an old, outdated, misplaced, and misinformed term for
intersex, exactly.
Well, and unfortunately, it's stuck on in some languages. So, like, in Spanish, and this particular person spoke Spanish, it's I don't remember. Hermaphrodite, I think is...
Maybe. I can listen to the Spanish language and get maybe half of it, but I'm not a very confident speaker.
Well, and like in French, the word for transgender is travesti, which... travesti.
Right. Right. Right.
And which... But the closest English translation is transvestite. And, you know, even in Britain, the preferred term is transvestite, not crossdresser. And so language, we have to be conscious of language. And that's that would, in and of itself, would make a very interesting show.
Yeah.
But I think the takeaway message is ask questions.
Yes.
When you make a mistake, don't make it about you.
Right, because it isn't.
There's this great comic going around about, I follow the Assigned Male at Birth comic on Facebook.
Cool.
It's a great comic. It's a trans comic, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, I mean...
there's this comic about this person who misgenders someone, mm-hmm. and they make it all about them. Like, oh, I'm a horrible person. I don't mean that. I mean, I'm your ally. And it just calls more attention to it. Right. I, as a trans person, as a trans ally, have misgendered other trans people who came out to me, who I knew as someone else.
Yeah.
It's I'm not saying that you can make that switch, like, instantaneously. Some people can, but it is hard. It is hard. I acknowledge that. I admit it. I have made this mistake, and I have said, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like,
and that's all you have to say. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to do that.
Right. And it's so important that you apologize because, like, you know, as marginalized people, we kind of expect those, you know, our allies in privilege to mess up. It's kind of an expected thing until you get the hang of it, and it takes a lot of time. Since I, you know, look more Mexican than I do trans, even though that's how I present socially to my family and friends, like, even my father Duke, like, messes up sometimes trying to be my white ally. When we need it as a family, sometimes he'll, like, not step up, he'll be silent, and it's just kind of like, where were you, dude? And then he's like, I don't know. And it's like, well, okay, well, let's make sure you get it right this time, and we'll try to step in to wake you up and, you know, snap you into it. Because part of allyship is that you don't want to do it alone. In fact, you want to have multiple allies, and it's kind of like a game of ball. You want to take away the ball being the attention of your attacker, harasser, etc., and you have to bounce that around until they're so confused that they just get fed up and leave you alone. So,
and I think it's important to also say that if someone is consistently doing this, then that's when it becomes a problem.
Yes.
So, like, if they know how you feel and they're not making an effort to change, that is not being an ally.
Mm-hmm.
That's not messing up. That's just not trying.
Exactly.
But if someone's trying, like, I have a friend back home who consistently used the right pronouns with me. One time they misgendered me.
Mm-hmm.
And initially it kind of, like, upset me a little bit, but then I thought about it and I was like, it was an honest mistake.
Right.
I have a deep voice. I understand it. Sometimes when you hear me and you're not thinking about it, you can, I could see how that would happen. And I knew it wasn't malicious. I knew they didn't mean it. They were mortified. And it was like, I'm not going to hold that against them. You know, people make mistakes. It's whatever. But if somebody is consistently doing it and they know how you feel, that's when I get irritated. I'm like, that's not acceptable. You're just doing that because you don't care about how I identify. You just don't care about me at all.
Right.
So that's an issue.
Yeah. And that's how, like, you know, personal story. I went to Mexico City over the winter, and I met up with my biological father in the first time for like a decade because I saw him when I was a kid, and that was not a good experience. So I just stayed away from him for like a good long time. And then I came out to him before I went there, like, listen, I want you to know that I'm trans and I use these pronouns. And he's like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, great, that went smoother than I expected. But then when I went there, he did not make a single attempt to refer to me by my name that I liked and also by my pronouns. And to be perfectly honest, I was just evidence that he got laid. So I'm just kind of done with him.
I'm sorry that happened to you. That
I was livid. I was also frightened because, you know, he tried to manipulate me like he had before when I was a child, and that was not okay either. So now I just don't trust him, period. And, like, you know, the only cordial conversation I'll probably be like is, hi, how are you doing? You know, I still don't like you, just so you know. I want you to know that. And, like, I'll be honest, if you, like, cross me the wrong way and I understand that you're doing it maliciously, then we're not going to be friends for like a year, maybe.
And, you know, I think I know this show's about being an ally, but I think for our trans people listening, it's okay to cut someone out of your life. If they're not being affirming of you, you don't need that.
Mm-mm.
Like, my family is not particularly affirming. I mean, some members are, but I choose to have a relationship with some of them because, you know, I care about them and I want to have a relationship with them. And I just have accepted that sometimes it is not going to be great. And I just deal with it. But if you don't feel like you can do that, then don't. Don't deal with it. You shouldn't have to if you don't want to.
Right. You don't need that negativity in your life.
No, you don't, girl.
Great.
And, you know, I was being facetious.
Oh, of course. Okay. Of course.
I mean, I felt like you did, but then I'm like, well,
listen, sometimes
people listening
I
may not know.
Listen. Oh, yeah. Well, listen, sometimes my mom calls me a B word. I'm like, yeah, I am a B word.
So the last thing that she brought up, and this, there's some English, going to be some English people out there, English professors, English students are like, excuse me, but ally is a verb.
Yes.
Now, yes, in the English language, it's a noun.
Mm-hmm.
But ally is also a verb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we ally with people. That is a verb.
Mm-hmm.
Ally, being an ally is a verb. It requires you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best picture of this is the safety pins that people wore after the election.
Oh, now, yeah. That was a conversation.
No, I will say I don't wear one every day because I can't wear sharp things to the hospital where I work. But I do wear one on occasion. I have on my professional Facebook page, I do have the header image as a safety pin. But I feel like I have the right to wear that because I know that I, not only do I know it, but I have stood up and been an ally to marginalized people.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people just wore it and they weren't like, they probably wouldn't do anything other than that. And that is when, that's why it was a problem. That's why so many people objected to it, is it seemed to be a token of people who are not necessarily going to be allies. They're just
right, because it's like performance popular allyship or whatever, and that's totally understandable because it's happened before where, like, you know, on a front, a facade, if you will, you're playing as an ally, but then you don't actually act like it, and therefore there's that critique, and then people get upset, and it's like, well, then yeah, obviously you have to show it. Like, for example, shout out to Avi Blackmore. He told me a story where he wanted to let this Muslim woman know that, you know, she was okay and, you know, greeted her and said peace unto you in her language that he learned. And then, she, you know, she smiled and, you know, things were cool. And, you know, that person probably feels a little bit safer now if, like, he visits the store again. So
it's just little things like that. I have several Muslim students in my class and we talk, you know, I talk to them after sometimes, and this year, after the election, I pulled one of them aside after class was over and I'm like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And they were confused. And I said, well, I just want you to know that I think the rhetoric that our president-elect has used against Muslims is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I also am aware and mindful of the fact that there's going to be backlash against Muslims here in North Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
And I want you to know that if anything bad happens to you or anyone says anything and you don't, it makes you feel uncomfortable, come to my office and we'll deal with it together, because you should not have to put up with that.
Right.
And I think they were really surprised and I think it meant a lot to them. And, you know, I didn't want to assume and I didn't want to make them feel uncomfortable, but I did want to communicate to them that I was there for them. I didn't completely, I mean, I kind of understand because I feel that their same rhetoric has been used against people like me, but I don't understand in the way that they understand it.
Right. Like, you can't compare one form of oppression with another. It's just, the fact is we are oppressed,
and some of it's the same, some of it's similar, some of it isn't, and we're all going to interpret it the same way. So I think it's really important that as allies, we take the opportunity to have moments like that. And I know there are people out there listening who have loved ones who are transgender.
Mm-hmm.
I know it can be really hard to make that transition with them. But honestly, your allyship, your support, your love makes all the difference between that transition being easy. Well, easier. No transition is easy, but it'll make the transition easier versus not having that love and support will make it so much more difficult. It is possible to love and support your trans loved one. Even if you don't understand, even if you don't agree with gender identity and the way that, we understand it today, that's fine. I don't, you know, I honestly, I don't care if my allies agree with me. I don't care if they agree with my decision to live an open and affirming life. I don't care if they agree. All I care and all I ask is that they affirm my right to do what I do, to live the way that I live, mm-hmm. and to stand up for me if someone is attacking me. My family are all conservative Christians. Mm-hmm. I am also a Christian. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how we can read the same Bible and go to similar services and get something completely different out of it. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with their beliefs. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with some of their stances.
Right.
But I still accept them.
Yeah.
Like, I accept, you know, that they have the right to believe it. And I would defend that right, mm-hmm. as fiercely as I would defend your right to use the restroom that affirms your gender identity, because I respect who they are as people, and I respect and give them dignity.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, how, you know, straight people, if, you know, they're standing up for their queer brothers, sisters, siblings, etc., that they're straight and they don't have to get a queer marriage themselves, but they ought to stand up for, you know, those close to them that do want to have that right.
That's, I think, the key to allyship is you are not doing anything that you do for yourself. You're doing it for the person that you're being an ally to. Mm-hmm. You have their best interests at heart. And if you want more information on supporting your loved one in transition, visit my website at darcycorbett.org/loved-one. And let's talk about some queer news coming up in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, on Thursday, December the 1st, join the Pride Collective and Community Center in Fargo for their holiday open house from 6 to 9 p.m. Drop in any time for free food, guest speakers, and an art project for the kids. All ages are welcome to come and celebrate the LGBTQ+ community in Fargo-Moorhead. To find out where the Pride Center is, go to pridecollective.com to find out more information.
Mm-hmm. And I found that another event, actually, so I added it to today's news. Saturday, December 3rd at noon, you can also join in on the Thanks Queering, thought this was funny, at the Pride Collective Community Center, LGBT inclusive and celebrate event to rant about family holding hostile views of marginalized groups. Join together with the community and eat some wonderful food in a welcoming atmosphere where you can be yourself. There will be vegan options available and a potluck style event, so if you should probably bring something. If you have food allergies or dietary requests, you should let them know. Following that, Sunday, December 11th, the Fargo-Moorhead Gay Men's Chorus will have their annual winter concert, I Heard the Bells. The concert is from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Sanctuary Events Center in downtown Fargo. Come and hear beautiful songs of the season. To purchase tickets, go to tinyurl.com/FMGMC and tune in next week to hear the selections from the concert here on Finding Me.
As a commitment to our listeners and to continue the work we've been doing on Finding Me, Nemo and I are in the process of looking for underwriters for our show. Underwriters allow us to stay on the air and deliver the same high-quality content every week on KPPPLP.
We have a variety of underwriting opportunities available. While it is not technically advertisement, underwriting acknowledges your support. By becoming an underwriter through your donation, you will receive on-air mentions that highlight your business or organization, very similar to what you may hear on public radio. Kind of like how you hear, and from viewers like you. Thank you. Right?
Yeah.
So what's even better, your donations are completely tax deductible. Unlike other forms of advertising, you can feel good knowing you have done something important for your community, so your community can feel good about supporting you. On our next show, we will hear from the members of the Fargo-Moorhead Gay Men's Chorus as they discuss their upcoming winter concert, I Heard the Bells. Tune in at 5 p.m. on the only station in the valley adding local queer color to your airwaves.